earlier, we heard a story about research and development. Christina, you also have been thinking about innovation and originality.
I have been thinking about innovation and originality. I recently opened office on the University of Arkansas campus. It's called the Office for Innovation in Education. And I was reading the New York Times earlier this month, the Sunday New York Times, and noticed something that was kind of cool, kind of made a connection here for me. On the front page of the Sunday Review, there was an article titled "Who's Minding the Schools?" by Andrew Hacker and Claudia Dreyfus. It was sort of a criticism of the new Common Core state standards for education. Arkansas is one of 45 states to approve and enact these standards, which we've reported on in the past. Something else I noticed in that Sunday New York Times.
Very same issue?
Very same issue. Was the New York Times Magazine was the innovation issue. Mm-hmm. So thus a connection was made between education and innovation.
And here is your story about the Office for Innovation in Education on the University of Arkansas campus.
Yes. The final lines of the opinion article written by Andrew Hacker and Claudia Dreyfus read, "Still, there's an upside to Common Core's arrival. As the public better appreciates its sweep, there's likely to be much discussion about schools and what we want them to do. Ideally, this will involve a reconsideration of the contours of knowledge and the question of how we can become a better educated nation." With that, a new office has been opened at the University of Arkansas in partnership with the Arkansas Department of Education to figure out what we want schools to do and how they can better teach and test these new Common Core state standards. Denise Arola is the director of the newly opened Office of Innovation of Education. For her, innovation is a way of thinking, outside the box.
There's so many different layers that go on in education, and it's very easy to see obstacles instead of opportunities. It's very easy to feel boxed in by what supposedly you are allowed to do and not think about how you could do things. If we just pushed a little bit on this edge, could we get something different from this than what we originally thought we could get? So I see innovation as a way of thinking, as a way of freeing up how you think about solving some longstanding or just current and sometimes intractable problems. It's a more open way of problem solving, almost through creating different ways of thinking about some of the same things.
She says innovation in education is evolving. Some states have offices and positions that are working on it. The United States Department of Education has one, and it's been around for years, trying to get people to think about how to develop new solutions to things that we can't solve through our longstanding solutions. As the office here in Arkansas is just getting started, a lot of what they're doing is research, trying to figure out what has been done and what is being done. Arola says that the last 15 years for education in Arkansas have been a very unique time. Things have increased in speed exponentially, with some really big things occurring. From the passage of Act 99 in 1999, to No Child Left Behind and the Lakeview rulings, both in 2001, to Arkansas's application for Race to the Top funds in 2010, all of these things leading to Arkansas being accountable for its own outcomes in education. She says this Office of Innovation and Education has been a long time coming.
You know, ultimately, I think what we've been asked to think about is how do we do a better job of personalizing learning for students? Teachers have heard this whole idea of differentiate instruction. What does that look like? And how do you do that?
This generation of student is different. The way they interact with the world varies greatly from those that teach them. These students bring a new way of approaching what they're learning to the table, and it's happening at a very rapid pace. The traditional school improvement models don't always have the timetable for change that's needed to meet the current group of students.
And I see innovation as a way to intervene in that and perhaps find different ways that don't require slow churn of the system, that you can come in and perhaps meet a need. You know, they talk in the language of innovation. We're finding is they talk about disruptive innovation, and then they talk about sustaining innovation and how different those two pieces are.
Continuous improvement is happening in Arkansas, but simultaneous innovating that can meet immediate needs is not being done. By the time the system changes, a generation of students will have been lost. Innovation does not necessarily mean technology, but technology does play a part, especially in the way that the students interact.
The hard thing about technology is that people have different ideas about what technology means in education. And that arena is so much wider. There are so many possibilities. If we look at it from the student perspective, if we look at it from the teacher perspective, we're talking about something different than if you're talking from the leader perspective or the systems perspective. I'm going to have different concerns and questions about how to use technology depending on what part of the system I'm really representing or trying to work with in innovation.
She says the part that sometimes gets lost is that, yes, there is a technology tie, but the role of the teacher and the human interaction a student gets from the teacher can never be replaced. Technology enhances the teacher's role in facilitating learning. Arola recently visited a high school in Utah, so aptly called Innovations High School.
You did not see a single teacher stand up and lecture. They were not delivering content. They were helping a student access and engage with the content in a way that I think is much more aligned with where we want to go with Common Core. And in Common Core, some of the major shifts are in how we're going to ask students to think about what they're learning and to interact with the information that they're learning. And that is not always something, I think we make the assumption that kids can do certain things without modeling and instruction. And I think that that's where I could really see the personalizing of learning coming from that, using technology really to facilitate how that student engages and what they engage with.
A teacher's knowledge of how students learn is still needed in order to guide the content, personalize the content and the technology and the Common Core standards to each student. Arola says that the next generation assessments are a great example of this. Prototypes show these assessments are perfect for this group of learners.
Helping them to visualize, helping them to bridge the gap between what we all had to do, you know, I think more abstractly ourselves. And I think it allows us to jumpstart some of the thinking and growing in our thinking that took a little bit longer before. It's just a different way of approaching it. And those next generation assessments give us a sense, at least for me, when I look at those, I think about how, as a teacher, I as an adult, I might struggle when I look at the item, but when I show it to a parent or I show it to a student, they look at it and it's the way they're dealing with their world right now. And so it's a perfect fit.
Also a perfect fit, this Office of Innovation in Education and the Arkansas Department of Education. Efforts to reach out to Dr. Tom Kimbrell, director of that office, went unmet. But Arola says that he knew someone had to be put in place to do this job. No one else was tasked with innovation. He told her, "I really want you to think about that student who is in a school system that we're working on improving. It may take 5 or 10 years for the school system to turn around, but that student needs help now. What if the way we help that student also helps that school system?" Arola and her research assistant will primarily be looking at data and use that data to drive decision making. As for where this office will take education,
Dr. Kimbrell's chief of staff, Phyllis Stewart, says we're still determining what the work will be. Things are unveiling as we go, so to speak, in terms of what the Office of Innovation will do. So much like what you see, you know, time and technology is going to, I think we're going to be a rapid change organization ourselves, where we're going to be having to constantly look ahead and adapt and change what we're helping to bring to the table.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.